How would you react if you found out that you were a superhero? Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff with your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome to The Right Stuff. I am your host, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me for another edition of the show. I am so excited tonight because I have some wonderful news to share with you, and I cannot wait to dig into our guest co-host and contributor today's book, Warrior Saints, which is a series. And the first book that we're going to highlight today is Creator. And I love this story. Those of you, when I tell you why I love this story, you're going to go ahead and want to get your copy of Warrior Saints, the series, but pick up book one, which is Creator, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Now, I do have some exciting information to tell you. We have our first corporate sponsor. We have ChristianBookClub.com. They are our corporate sponsor. And I can tell you, we are enjoying the partnership with Christian Book Club, because what Christian Book Club focuses on is helping authors build their readership. So they really focus on readership building. So if you want to know more about what they offer, simply go to ChristianBookClub.com to find out more information about that. So that is our first corporate sponsor for Right Stuff. Very exciting, new territory for me, and just so excited. The next thing is that we also partner with Readio. And Readio is an app for your Christian books. So are you tired of having your books lost in the mainstream of Amazon.com and other places? Well, if you want your Christian books to be with other Christian books, you definitely want to download the Readio app today. If you are an author interested in uploading your books to Readio, you can give me a quick email at my, you can send me an email at my email, writestuffradio@gmail.com. Let me know how I can help you, because I'm very excited for this new venture. Because when you go to Amazon, your book can get lost. Sometimes you put in science fiction and you get some weird guy with horns sticking out of his head, or you just have weird content and your book can't be seen. But with Readio, you have the opportunity to have your book along other Christian books. So from very sweet to edgy Christian fiction, the Readio app is the one for you. So make sure you download the Readio app on Google Play Store today. So I'm very excited to be partnering with these two companies, our first corporate sponsor, and then partnering with Readio app. Again, if you want more information about either of those, simply go to readioapp.com or go to christianbookclub.com. As always, we invite you to call in and ask questions by calling in at 646-668-8485. Then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media, or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High influence ebooks and audiobooks.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Carla Thorne. She is the author of the series Warrior Saints, and we're talking about the first book in the series, Creator. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's young adult fiction, and let me tell you, it's an enjoyable, clean read. And if you're worried about your kids reading this book, you don't have to. It has lots of excitement, lots of humor, and lots of interesting things that make it relevant to today's youth, but still adding that supernatural element and those questions about God, about when bad things happen that children and youth today do have questions about. So it's a great resource for your library for family reading. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of the Warrior Saint series. Book one is Creator on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Carla Thorne. Carla, how are you doing today?
I am amazing today. I'm waiting on a hurricane. Other than that, I'm fine. And I thank you very much for having me.
You know, when you said you're waiting on a hurricane, that was the last thing I expected to hear. But now that I think about it, I think it is hurricane season. You know, I get scared if it gets too dark. So I can't even imagine living through a hurricane. So that's particularly scary. So I hope you are staying safe while you're there,
for sure. It's old news around here for us. So we are ready, and it's going to be fine.
How does one prepare for a hurricane?
You just make sure you have enough water and ice for when your power goes out, and that's really about all you can do. You just don't know until it happens. So
I tell you, the idea, when my power went out, I thought I was at the brink of the end of civilization as we knew it. Matter of fact, when our AC at my old job went out, I thought we were at the end of civilization. So I can't even imagine what that must feel like. So make sure you stay safe, Carla, while you're out there. But I'm so glad the hurricane hasn't come yet, because we can still have an opportunity to chat with you. So again, thank you for being with me today. You know, so
thank
I can always read
me.
Your bio. I can always read your bio. And what's really cool is that I know you from Matt Newsom, who I had on the show last week. And Matt just raved about your editing services and how you helped him with his writing career. And I see that same skill that you helped him to develop in your own words here. So that's really cool to see that. So I'm really glad to have you to talk about your books and what you do. So let's start off with the easiest question. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, my name is Carla, and I do have two pen names. One of my pen names is Carla Rossi, and Carla Rossi has been writing sweet romance, inspirational romance, clean and wholesome romance since about 2004. That's when I got serious about writing. I did start my editing business in about 2014. I realized that I enjoyed putting the puzzle together, listening to people's stories, brainstorming with them, and figuring out what was going on in their story. Was it going to work? Did their characters have enough meat on their bones? Did they have enough problems? Was there enough conflict? Did everybody arc? And I thought, you know, I'm going to take some classes and see how this goes. And I did. So I opened my editing business in 2014. Then my other pen name is Carla Thorne, and Carla Thorne writes YA supernatural fantasy. I rebranded last year because what you find is readers and fans are very devoted, and my Carla Rossi fans who read sweet and inspirational romance would not have followed me into supernatural fantasy. It would have been very confusing. So I just rebranded with a completely different pen name for the Warrior Saints, and that's where we are today. I am balancing both and trying to decide what to write next in which area.
It's fascinating that you mentioned about having those two names, because you are right that readers are loyal to what they are comfortable with reading. I have a couple of super fans who will read whatever I write, but not everyone is like that. Like, I'm pretty much, my primary works are in sweet, wholesome, contemporary, and historical romance, some edgy Christian fiction as well. But then I have a side pen name named after my grandma because of speculative fiction. So I have works under that as well. So I totally understand the logic behind there, because you need to make sure that you can get that market for both pen names. Because not everyone is going to read speculative fiction, like in my case, speculative fiction, or whatever it is you're reading. So I totally gel with the reasoning behind doing that. And that's fascinating, too. Do you find yourself having to market for Rossi one day and for Thorne one day? Do you market them at the same time? You know, how do you juggle those two pen names?
It's very hard to market at the same time because the audiences are completely different. There are days I will be doing two newsletters, one for the Carla Thorne people and one for the Carla Rossi people, and they are completely different, and they go to two completely different newsletter lists, because the YA people do not want to read my Carla Rossi newsletter. So it is running two careers. I'm running two businesses here. So it does overlap. Sometimes I have two Twitter accounts. I tweet the same things a lot, but, you know, Twitter is like standing in a room with 4,000 people yelling at you all at one time. So nobody ever figures out that Carla Rossi and Carla Thorne are the same person. And I don't mind that anybody knows. It's just that I tell Carla Rossi people things different than I tell Carla Thorne people. If I have an editing suggestion, if I want to explain the difference between further and farther, just as a PSA for my editing clients, that goes to Carla Rossi people. That doesn't go to Carla Thorne people because they have no idea, you know, so they're not interested in that. So it's running two businesses. Every pen name you have is another business, another website, another social media account, another newsletter list, another Amazon Author Central page. So you have to kind of keep it separate.
it's a lot of outlets for sure. And I definitely concur with you there because I haven't worked on my Parker Pain at all. I haven't worked on it at all, but I don't have a lot as many works as I have under Parker Cole, which is, you know, my name. And so it was pretty funny that you said that. So I totally understand where you're coming from when you discuss just the intricacies of that. And of course, I don't know if you answered the question when I put it on Facebook, Carla, but which do you prefer, gray or gray? So gray with the A or gray with the E?
Okay. I secretly prefer gray with the E because I feel like I'm doing something exotic.
Yes.
But I tell my clients that it should be with an A because if you're writing a book in American English, we're going to be gray, G-R-A-Y.
Yes.
But secretly, I have once said a hero's eyes were a twinkling blue-gray with an E because I just thought it sounded more fun.
Yes. And gray is the sophisticated color of gray with an A. It really is sophisticated. And every time I think of gray with an E, I think of silver or like high polished silver, or I think of a tall gentleman with a nice top hat and a long torso, long legs, and he's walking down a boardwalk in 1895. Or I think about, you know, a really cool alpha male character with gray glittering eyes, like, you know, melted silver or something like that. So, and then you say gray. Gray is like my Aunt Maud. You know, you know what I mean? Gray with an A is Aunt Maud.
Yeah.
You know, like, who wants to talk to that gray? No one cares about that
boring
gray. And it's funny, too, because a few people, when they responded to my post on Facebook, they said, well, it's not about preference. It's what it is. And I said, I'll be honest with you. Writing rules are made to be broken sometimes because there's one author I know. He hates using the word gray with an A. He hates it. He said that is not a color. That is just a poor substitute for the real color. So he uses gray with an E in his manuscript. So I had to ask you that just as a editor, some of the things that you see. And so you started writing in 2000.
Yeah, I try to steer people to what is acceptable, you know, and the rules change all the time. And you are right. The rules are meant to be broken. And during the time of my editing career, you know, things keep changing. We used to have to capitalize internet. We don't have to do that anymore. We used to write email with a dash, e-mail. We don't do that anymore. It's one word. People are shocked when I say in American English, it's toward instead of towards with an S. And some people might even disagree with me and they might be right. I don't know, because the Chicago Manual of Style has a new edition every year and changes things. And we're always learning things. But yes, rules are meant to be broken. I agree. But I also feel like you need to know the rule before you can break it, so that you break it properly to get the effect that you desire.
Exactly. But I just thought that was a really fun question. And, you know, it was very interesting to get the type of response we received, because some people have very definite ideas about it, which was fascinating to listen and watch and see the conversation go back and forth. Said when I asked you about telling us about yourself, is that when you started to take your writing seriously back in 2004, you were as Carla Rossi. What events happened to you where you said, you know what, I'm not going to dream about writing if you were, or I'm not going to think about writing. I'm going to do this thing called writing. If you don't mind me, you can be as transparent as you like too. What events happened that got you to that point?
Well, it's a long, funny story, which I really don't have time to tell, but I will tell you that I have written my entire life. I am one of those people that from the time I could, I wrote little stories. I remember being an angsty teenager and trying to write like the books that I saw on the turning shelf in the drugstore. And I have always written. I wrote poetry. I remember writing the little snippets for the kids to read in the Christmas pageant when they just wanted to give them a little limerick or something. I would write those things. I have written my entire life. And when you get married and start having kids and you don't have time to devote to that, because it does take a lot of time, writing is very hard work. And so it kind of slipped away, and I wasn't even reading. And someone dropped off a bunch of books in the teacher's lounge where I was working, and I backed up my car and put them all in there and took them home and looked through them and remembered how much I love to read. And then I remembered how much I love to write. And by then my children were a little bit older, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to figure out how to do this, and I'm going to do it right. So I immediately joined some writing organizations, and I started taking classes and workshops. And I'm not talking about college courses on creative writing and things like that or journalism. I'm talking about being in writing groups with other writers who are serious about writing, getting advice, learning from what they've already learned, and taking the workshops, taking the master classes, honing the craft of writing, finding out what the formula is, finding out the different ways to do it, and then started trying to write. And I wrote 3 books that very first couple of years, and they are unreadable. They are downstairs under my bed, never to see the light of day unless I rework them. But that was how I learned to write. And I realized if I was going to make any money at it and be a writer, I had to be a writer. You have to write every day. You have to do something writerly every day. You have to tell people, I'm a writer, and be a writer. Even if you have a day job, even if you have 3 jobs, you have to decide to put a certain amount of focus into it. You have to learn how to do it. You have to get a good editor to help you and teach you if need be. I mentor people all the time, and we look at their process and figure out and try to pare it down and make it work for them. So it was just a getting serious kind of thing, and I decided I'm going to do this. And I started that in 2004 by joining organizations, and then by 2007, I had sold my first book to a publisher. So it took 3 years before I got there, which is actually shorter than it takes some. So, I mean, I really worked it.
It's fascinating to hear you say that, because you really do have to do something called writing. I like the way you said you have to do something writerly, write. And you said you have to write every day. And I know a lot of people who want to write often cite that they don't have enough time to write. But it comes down to, what do you prioritize? And some people do not want to hear that. They do not want to hear that I have to make, what's the word I want to use? I have to make concessions for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Either I'm going to watch Hoarders. That's a funny right here. Either I'm going to watch Hoarders for 45 minutes or 2 hours, or I'm going to write. Those are the type of decisions you have to make. And, of course, watching Hoarders may be vastly exciting, but at the same time, if you take that time to write, like, you know what I do, Carla, like if I'm watching Hoarders, or right now I'm binging on Monk right now, when I get that way, I say, you know what, I'm going to watch Monk for, let's say, 2 hours. Let's say I'm just going to binge for 2 hours. So what I do, I say I'm an hour at least on my writing. So I try to make sure that I get the writing in, because I have different projects I'm working on. So I definitely like the fact that you put that sense of urgency to our aspiring authors out there, that if you want to write, you have to write. So definitely glad that you said that. What we're going to do is take a quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about Carla Thorne's book series, Warrior Saints. And the first book is Creator. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. If you want to weigh in and ask questions, you know you can. Simply call in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity, or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people?
And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guests.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. Just wanted to let you know that we just published our fourth episode of Right Stuff International on our YouTube channel. Simply subscribe to Parker J. Cole on YouTube, and you'll see it. We were talking to Steve Pillinger all the way from South Africa. We had a wonderful time talking to him and my guest, co-host Peter Younghusband from Perspective by Peter. And Peter also is the one who connected Carla and I for this show. So we definitely want to give a shout out to Peter Younghusband. He's been with us now going on, I think, 5 or 6 years. I can't remember. He's been just a wonderful friend since day one. So I want to thank him for sending guests to Right Stuff. So if you want to see Right Stuff International, it is uploaded on our YouTube channel. Simply subscribe at ParkerJCole.com. Parker J. Cole, rather. And we are talking to my guest, Carla Thorne, like I mentioned just a second ago, about her series, Warrior Saints. We're talking about her first book, Creator. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. And Carla, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show as we start to delve into your series, Warrior Saints, in particular, Creator, because Creator really jumpstarts this series as we follow the lives of four young people, two boys, two girls, each with very distinct personalities. Each of them have unique problems to themselves, and each of them are realizing that something is wrong. And the way they find out is from page one when it comes to a snake. So go ahead and tell us what book one of Warrior Saints is about, but don't give us any spoilers.
Yes, I will try not to. The idea is the idea for Warrior Saints came to me years ago, and I looked around at what young adults were reading, and it was anywhere from shapeshifters, vampires, dystopian, witchcraft, academy stories, things. And I had to laugh because I look at the Bible and I think, oh my gosh, what is more supernatural than the Bible? And I think of things like, you know, in 1 Samuel, when Saul goes to a witch to conjure up Samuel and he actually shows up, why did you bring me back? You know, and I'm thinking, what's more supernatural than that? And when Job has a sea monster, and when, you know, in Mark, there's a demon army that comes out of a tortured man who's chained to a rock in a graveyard. So I was thinking to myself, how did we believers let the world take supernatural away from us? And it occurred to me, what if I had teens who were supernaturally gifted with the gifts that the Creator meant for us to have and told us about in 1 Corinthians. Those are power gifts, supernatural gifts of healing and wisdom and interpretation of spirits, discernment, all these different things. It couldn't be more supernatural than that. And so I created this world where these teens were exponentially gifted, and they were gifted because they were born of adversity. Each one of them has been through something. So they have questions, they have scars, they have injuries, they have emotional issues. And I went back to that thing where God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to write a series about four teens who have no idea what has happened to them. I'm going to give them difficult backgrounds, show them overcoming it, and deciding to make the good choice to work for the Creator. And in doing so, also had to create my destroyer to fight with them. And that's basically all this is. It's good versus evil. And the teens would not be four teens that might have made friends, but they do make friends on, you know, early in the school year whenever there is an incident with a snake. And my leader, Mary, she very much takes control of the situation. She does not have a lot of fear. She has a lot of confidence that we come to find out is because she is gifted by the Creator. And she will always work for the Creator, and there's a reason for that. She had some things happen to her, and she's a survivor, and so she has been supernaturally gifted, and they naturally migrate toward each other as they figure out each what their individual gifts are, and they ultimately decide, okay, we're the good guys. This is a good thing. But because they're kids, they are initially scared. Why is this happening to me? What is happening to me? Oh my gosh, I'm going crazy. Oh my gosh, this, you know. So it takes time for them to meld and grow together. And over the three books, you see their arc and you see how they become stronger. And then you will witness the ultimate battle. And they have some rough patches along the way, but that is where it came from. And you know, the message I get from people who read these books tell me, I felt so empowered. I felt like I could go out my front door and kick some booty because Mary taught me that I need to be fearless. I am supernaturally gifted from the Creator according to Scripture, and so I'm just going to take care of this. And so that's really exciting for me, and I hope that teens are seeing that as well.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about the book as I read it was the very natural hesitation in accepting these gifts, because they kind of happen suddenly and they kind of happen without them really not quite sure what is going on. Because best believe I was having what she thought was hallucinations, and they're actually visions and premonitions of a sort. And to have that, I'd be freaking out too. Like I'd freak out like, oh my gosh, you know. And then the one young man, I won't tell you what his gift was, but you know, he thinks I'm cursed, I'm from the devil. That would be my natural thought, you know. And I kind of like that, because they're working out, why is this happening to me? I couldn't help but parallel that with things happen to us and how we ask the question, why did this happen? Is it because I'm cursed, or obviously I'm sick in the head, like the one young lady thought, or something else is happening, instead of seeing it as an opportunity for growth. Most of us see bad things as an opportunity for growth, as an opportunity to, well, I should say not for growth, but to whine, complain, you know, leave the Lord. Since you did this, I'm going to walk off, you know. Whereas in this case, they see these abilities manifest as an opportunity for good things, and they're still scared. So it just lets you know that human beings in right. general, we're scared. We're terrified, you know. And I highlighted a few notes in here. I'm going to get my notebook out here. I highlighted a few notes because I thought they were absolutely fantastic, some of the things that some of the kids were saying. One of the things that the first one said, Mary, who begins in chapter one, she reads this, and I want to talk to you about it. She says, I reached the supernatural space between my bed and the atmosphere, because if I'd learned anything through all those battles, It's that there was no true in between. I was either anchored and stable on the ground in my earthly bed and on my earthly feet, or I was not. Now, I know that Mary, when she's talking and narrating this part of her story, she's talking about what's happening in the here and now for her. However, I was really struck by the very simple truth that she exhibited. There was no in-between. Either you're anchored and stable or you're not. And I didn't know if that was something that you deliberately put in there, or was that just something that came with a character and you're like, oh, Parker, I didn't know you thought about anything like that. I would love to know your thoughts.
Well, it's very clear. I mean, we are talking a little bit fantasy. Most people are not as self-aware as these characters are of how powerful the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. None of us really are. And the point I was trying to make, because I really believe this, is that the other side just is the other side. I mean, and we are either in one or the other, and we can delve deep into the arms of the Holy Spirit and get all cuddly and rest in the Lord and do all the things that we want to do like that. But at the same time, we can be tormented by the enemy when something is not going right, and that causes confusion. So the answer to your question is yes and no. In Mary's case, she very much was having spiritual encounters with the dark side as she was learning what it is that she was supposed to do. And for us as believers, we do the same thing. It just looks differently in the daytime when we're walking and talking and trying to deal with things that we're facing and deciding what is the right thing to do. We do feel the pressure and the torment. And we, too, have to be like Mary and say, you know what? You don't get me today. It's not happening today. And we have to fight. And so that whole passage, and I was actually going to read that whole opening passage if we have time for the excerpt, is that we have to fight. We have a choice. We always have to make a choice. And the choice is to fight and get back to the ground where we're grounded in the Holy Spirit and the gifts that God has given us. I don't know if I answered your question.
Oh, you did, because you let us know that even though she's dealing with this right now, it does expand to our personal lives. Like, I don't think you probably deliberately put that in there, but it does expand to our personal lives. And that's what really struck me about that particular scene as I read it. Like, you know, you are or you ain't. That's my pastor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no
used
in-between.
To say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's another thing I wanted to highlight here. Another one is in chapter 7 here. And one of the characters is talking again, and they're saying, what was it then? Mental, environmental, spiritual? Everything I knew about God and Jesus came from my great-grandfather and my adoptive parents. I had a Bible app on my tablet, but who can make sense of that? And what good or holy thing could come of fireball hands? Nothing, if not there is. But what I found interesting about it was that when you are faced with certain truths that you cannot explain away, you really do come to a sense of either it's God or the devil. And if one exists, then the other has to exist as well. It's actually quite simple. And one of our characters is dealing with having this manifestation of power. That's the only way I'm using it. If you have a different word, Carl, let me know. But this manifestation of power,
fine.
And it frightens him. It frightens him. But at the same time, he's like, well, where did this come from? And he's understandably scared. Like, I would be terrified. If stuff was like this happened to me, I would be terrified. Like, oh my gosh, my hand turns things into gold, like King Midas. Oh my goodness, you know. Or if I turn around, look at my husband, he turns to stone, you know, which wouldn't be too bad. But, you know, he turns to stone or something like that, you know. So they're actually having real emotions with these manifestations of power. And I really like that, because in a lot of young adult books, the kids really adapt to this ability without any problem. I'm thinking to myself, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Like,
right.
You,
no,
wouldn't,
you wouldn't.
You know?
You would be. And I'll never forget my husband pointing something out to me that was very helpful. he's, you know, from a male perspective, he was like, if you were, he says, okay, if you're a guy and you wake up one morning and you're able to run at the speed of light, the first thing a guy teen is going to do is run at the speed of light as much as he can because he wants to try out his new stuff, right? But what happens to this character in the, and that was true, and he was concerned that the character wasn't very realistic with it at the time, mm-hmm. but and he's right, because from a male perspective, it's like, oh, I can run like the speed of light. I'm going to do it right now, and I'm not going to stop until somebody stops me. You know, it would be exciting, and they'd be trying it out. And so when I did create that character and his special gifts, it was just scary enough for him that he wasn't ready to go public with it or try it out, because he didn't know what was going to happen and he didn't know where it was from. And because of his history, he did have questions, and he knew that other people were to see that when he was interacting with them, the things that happened. And so he was very scared because of where he came from. He thought, well, you know what? I just, like you said, I might just be marked by the devil because I can't see any good coming of this. It's not a fun gift that he has. He didn't, you know, I argue with a friend of mine, a fellow geek, all the time, and we decide what is the best superpower, and I think teleportation is it, because I could be anywhere I want to be when I want to be there, and if I discovered I had that, I would do it all the time. You know, so it's one of those things. But what happens to this character isn't exactly fun, and it has to grow, and he has to learn how to use it and control it, which is also more choices and more good and moral choices, and, you know, for good outcomes, and to learn how to listen when he's supposed to use it rather than just be, oh, I can run fast, I can teleport, I'm just going to do that all the time. He had to learn. So
it's funny that you said teleportation, because the first thing I thought about is if I'm at somewhere where I don't want to be and someone starts to act up, oh my gosh, look at the time, gotta go, and just be done. You know, or if you got to save your kid from, you know, getting hit by a car, like in a lot of those superhero movies, you know, somebody get about to hit by a truck and everything. I think it's a great gift, you know. I'm glad you said that. And when we come back, we're going to be listening to an excerpt from Warrior Saints, Book One, Its Creator. And let me tell you right now, you're definitely going to enjoy the story. It reads very quickly, and each character that you follow in the story definitely has their own story to tell. They have each distinct personalities, and you're fully invested into what happens to them as they begin to hopefully create this coalition of specially gifted young people. But while they're doing that, they have to worry about homework and schoolwork, basketball practice, homecoming. Lots of things are going on in this story. So I feel sorry for these young kids. So I know you're going to enjoy Warrior Saints as well. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. You still have an opportunity to call in by calling in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work. But what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with Identity Theft Protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, having a wonderful time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Carla Thorne. She is the author of the book Creator, which is book one of the Warrior Saint series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you like young adult fantasy, but you don't want all the dirtiness and kind of the immorality that's really rampant in young adult fantasy as it is today, you definitely want to pick up this unique, wonderful, fast-paced take on young adult, and it's clean, wholesome, but still has what you love about young adult fantasy. It's available on Amazon.com. Go ahead, pick up the first book of this series today. And let me tell you, you're going to pick up the second and the third because the first one is so good. So make sure you pick it up today. And once again, Carla, thank you so much for being with me on the show to showcase your series and about who you are as an author and editor. I do have one quick question before we read the excerpt. One thing I noticed within the narrative of this book is that these kids have very relevant conversations. So they have conversations about God. They have conversations about evil. They have conversations about morality. And I think that was a very important aspect in your book that I think is sorely missing a lot in young adults, because they're always going for the adventure, without being really introspective about things that matter today, like what happened when so-and-so dies.
Exactly.
When this happened. Was that a deliberate move on your part to put things in there? So first of all, in my opinion, let parents know your children are thinking about these things. They're never too young to start having these type of conversations or thoughts. And was it to help other young adults who may pick up the book to know that there are answers to their questions?
Oh, it was definitely intentional. I worked very hard to pick relevant things in their lives today. One of my very good friends is a guidance counselor and is in charge of guidance and counseling for a school district. And I pick her brain often just about, you know, what's going on. I mean, what are our kids really up against? And so I purposely, very deliberately decided that I wanted to address some issues that I knew are happening, because a lot of books don't, like you said. And the running joke is that where are all the adults in the young adult? You know, why isn't anybody helping these kids or talking to them? So,
oh my gosh, yes.
That while there weren't, you know, I didn't overkill with the adults in the book, and there are, you know, very few conversations with adults, but the kids are talking. Do not fool yourself. They know three times as much than you think they do. And they have done three times as many things as you think they have. Do not go to sleep on your teenagers. Believe me, even the best ones are struggling with some of the things that I have talked about in these books. And I did that on purpose because I wanted other teens to realize you can have these conversations and there is a right, and I don't even want to say wrong, but a good and a, you know, maybe not even good and bad, I'm not sure, but there are different ways to handle things. You know, there are more than one way to, there's more than one way to solve a problem sometimes. And if you need help, ask for it. And if your friend needs help, you say something. You don't get to keep your mouth closed. You have to talk. So it was very purposeful that I made sure that I mentioned some things and have some serious conversations between them, because these kids are having these conversations and they make choices based on what their friends say. Their peer pressure and their influence on each other is far stronger than anything else. And so it was very important to me that they talked a lot, that they talked about a lot of different things, that they questioned a lot of different, I don't even want to use the word religion, but they talk about a lot of different belief systems even, and question things and say, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, it couldn't be that. And well, maybe it's this, because that's what they're doing. You know, that's what they're doing.
And it's a good thing that you mentioned it. There's one scene in there where I literally wanted to strangle the character. I wanted to strangle her because she allowed herself to get peer pressured into doing something. And I wanted to say, oh my gosh, you can't be this weak. That's what I'm thinking. But this is me as an adult talking to a teenager when all of a sudden, as I had that thought, I remember high school and I was not popular by any stretch of the word, but you did want to be accepted. You didn't want to not be the one to stick out like everybody else, or you wanted to be in the in crowd. So I was reminded of those angst-filled days of high school, but I really wasn't angst-filled for me because I was more of a geek, and I hung out with the geeks, and we had fun. We definitely had fun. So I was reminded of high school as I read this too. But I'm so glad that you touch on these tough topics that the kids are touching on today. And I love the fact that you said don't fall asleep on your teenager, because the moment you do, you'll find out that you should have been awake. And that I think that's very necessary to say. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to have you set up this excerpt for our listeners to hear. So go ahead and set it up for us, okay?
Okay, thank you. I am going to read from Mary's point of view. This is the very beginning of the first book, and it is my heroine having one of her battles that she often has, and it just kind of sets up the ominous tone that they are fighting a dark side. They have not yet discovered each other, but this is something that Mary has had trouble with, and she does this often, and it is disturbing, but it sets up the story and shows where it goes when they start learning that they have things in common. So this is Mary. I trembled in my bed, or so I thought. Was it me? No. In my haze of half-sleep, I felt my cat, Paisley, sleeping beside me and breathing with a slight vibration in her chest. But then I was falling and fighting as I fell. Darkness swirled around me and sucked the very breath from my lungs. With no air, I couldn't scream, though I used all my energy to try. Help might come if they could hear me. But who would come? No one knew how I fought in my dream sleep, half-awake state, how I left my body to fight on a supernatural plane where rules of gravity didn't exist, until I was spiraling to my death, or suffocating, or clawing my way to the surface to breathe. The darkness crushed my chest and pushed harder still. I scratched where I thought its face would be and peeled its skin until the metallic scent of human blood filled my nostrils. But the thing that smothered me wasn't human, was it? Logic managed to center my thoughts, though breaths were hard to come by and oxygen was slow to reach my brain. I wondered how someone got into my room through the alarm without detection. If it were a large human, why not finish me off? But there was not a real human form. It was more of a presence, a blob, a changing force that covered my nose and mouth when it wanted. But I fought. I reached for the supernatural space between my bed and the atmosphere. Because if I'd learned anything through all those battles, it's that there's no true in-between. I was either angled and stable on the ground, anchored and stable on the ground in my earthly bed and on my earthly feet, or I was not. And when I was not, I was fighting for my life. The other side is merely a door we walk through. The supernatural forces of evil exist just past the ends of our noses, across that invisible threshold, waiting. I knew as much because that dark force fought with me to drag me into some deep space or pull me into an epic, biblical-like hell and take my life. I kicked, I flailed, I pushed imaginary hands from my throat. The sudden stench of death and decay lingered in the air, followed by the sweet, earthy smell of fresh dirt, newly mown grass, earthworms, and spring rain. That's when I knew I was in trouble. It meant I'd lost my orientation in the battle, because everyone knows a dead body stinks of rot as it's put 6 feet under. But life stands by and waits and watches in the very ground that was disturbed to bury the deceased. So I fought. I fought harder for the earthly scent, the grounded feeling, and the light of life. I dismissed the stench of death. Final push of life-saving strength. I concentrated on the spiritual realm. Is this when I die again? Another voice, not from the creature, answered me. No, this is not when you die. With rage and determination, I twisted out of its grasp. My heart raced as my breath steadied. I was asleep. I was awake. I honestly don't know what I was. What I did know was that I fought for my life on a regular basis. What I didn't know was why. I gasped and bolted upright in bed. Paisley stretched and rearranged herself against my cold feet. I was a survivor. I stayed alive. I fought because Shinar was determined to kill me.
And that is an excerpt from Warrior Saints Book One, Creator, available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I'm really glad that you read that excerpt because it definitely leads into the Stranger Things happening in the book. So make sure you go ahead and pick it up today. One thing I thought when I read the first chapter, I thought for sure she was having an episode of sleep paralysis because people have talked about how sleep paralysis does give you these rather interesting episodes. And I can honestly say beyond a shadow of a doubt that so far I have not experienced sleep paralysis. Now, I have been in a situation where I've been sleepy and I can't move, but there's no thing on my chest. It's more so like I wake up before my body wakes up, but it's not scary. You know, there's nothing scary happening, you know. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. So there's nothing scary happening, anything like that. But I thought she was having an episode of sleep paralysis until I kept reading. And it really does lend a very careful entrance into the world of Warrior Saints. So for our viewers and listeners out there, you're definitely going to enjoy the book. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. Now, we are at the top of the hour, Carla, so I'm so glad you were able to help me today on the show. I want people to have an opportunity to get in contact with you. So could you go ahead and tell us what your social media outlets are?
I sure will. It's very simple. You can go to CarlaThorne.com or CarlaRossi.com, and you can start there, and Thorne is with an E. On Goodreads, same thing. There's an account for each. At Twitter, you can follow me at Carla Rossi Wright, W-R-I-T-E. And Carla Thorne, you can follow me, Carla Thorne Books, B-K-S. Then on Instagram, Carla Thorne Books, B-O-O-K-S. And on Facebook, you can find Carla Thorne Books and my public profile of Carla Rossi, where I do post a lot of things, just writerly things and what's going on and about my new releases. And I also have a series called the Cardinal Point Series, which is Carla Rossi's sweet and clean and inspirational line, which I do with two other authors. And there are two new Cardinal Point books coming out this actually Friday of this week. One's coming out, and then there will be another one for the holidays coming out in a couple of weeks. So you can go to Cardinal Point Romance if you are interested in sweet or clean or inspirational romance. So it's really very simple. CarlaThorne.com, CarlaRossi.com is where you can start.
In the few moments we have left, I always want to end with you as the guest, encouraging the aspiring authors out there. Earlier in the broadcast, you let us know how determined you have to be a writer. What are some other things you can say to help encourage that aspiring author out there to pick up the pen and write stuff?
If you have a burning desire to write, you just need to write. It doesn't have to be pretty or fancy when you first start. You just have to write. Do something, like I said earlier, do something writerly every day. Read an article. Look up. Study point of view. Point of view is one of the things that clients have the most trouble with when they come to me and they want me to help them straighten out a book. Point of view. What, you know, understand first person, second person, third person, omniscient. Read an article about writing. But most of all, write. And once you get started, don't be ashamed to call yourself a writer. I'm shocked how many people I know that write. And you ask them what they do, and they'll tell you everything but writer. If you're a writer, you need to own it. You need to say, I'm a writer. And you may be pre-published, but that doesn't matter. You're still a writer, and you've been a writer your whole life. And if you want to write, you need to keep writing, and you need to finish a book. People get discouraged and they quit. But if you're focusing on your writing career, then you're writing every day and you're reading an article every day, or you're taking an online class every week, or you're talking to other writers, or you've joined an organization. And as soon as you're fully immersed in all of it, then you're a writer. Call yourself a writer. Even if you have to have two other day jobs to make ends meet, maybe someday you won't. I know lots of writers who are making enough money that they will never have to work a traditional day job again. They get to write all the time. You can do that too, but take advantage of the help that's out there. You do have to have a little bit of a thick skin. Everything artistic creatives do is 99% rejection. Not everybody's going to like your art. Not everybody's going to like your screenplay. Not everybody's going to like your book. That's okay. You didn't write your book for every single person. That painting isn't for every single person. So keep writing. Do something writerly every day. Focus. Own the fact that you're a writer. Get some help when you need it. Find those organizations. Go to the meetings when we're allowed to meet again. Go to virtual meetings. Find the organizations. If you write mysteries, find Mystery Writers of America. If you write romance, find Romance Writers of America. Whatever it is you write, you need to find your people. So do that. Don't, you know, if it's burning, write, because that's what your gift is, and you need to do it. You will never be totally at peace until you surrender and write, especially if God has a story in your heart that is meant to minister to someone else. You have a responsibility to get it on the paper.
Carla, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for those wonderful words of wisdom that you shared with our listeners. And I was just inspired as you were talking too. Not that I don't write, but I felt reinvigorated because I'm at a writer's block right now with something I'm working on. And I'm like, you know what? Keep pushing. Keep doing it. So I was just as encouraged as I hope our aspiring authors were encouraged today. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with us on the show. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
I'll be happy to come back. I can talk about writing and editing all day, all night. We shall do what you want. And I certainly do appreciate you, and congratulations on your corporate sponsors and your other people who are supporting you. It's a wonderful show. I'm getting in the habit of remembering to listen every Tuesday. Very excited for you.
Thank you so much, Carla. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we were talking today to Carla Thorne. She is the author of the book Creator, which is book one of the Warrior Saint series. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's a young adult clean fantasy, so make sure you pick it up today. But if you like sweet, inspirational, clean, and wholesome story, pick up her books under Carla Rossi at R-O-S-S-I. Pick up her books there. I'm sure you are going to enjoy that. And if you're interested in some of her editing services as an author, make sure you reach out to her at either of her website, CarlaThorne.com or CarlaRossi.com. And let me tell you, you're not going to be disappointed at all. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. Again, I want to say thank you to those who have been supporting us. I want to, again, reiterate that we do now have the fourth episode of Right Stuff International on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can always be up to date about what we have uploading on that channel, as well as we now have a corporate sponsor at ChristianBookClub.com, and we're also working with a Christian Book App Radio app, and to find out more information, go to radioapp.com. Very exciting for what we're doing, what we're going. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I am along for the ride, and I hope you join me. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.